Thank you, Doug, and thank all of you for being here this morning. If you're visiting with us, we certainly want to acknowledge that and tell you that we're glad that you're here. It's always great to enter into the house of God, as like David said in the long ago. I was glad when they said unto me, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. And truly, all of us should be able to say that this morning. This is the day that the Lord hath made, and I will rejoice and I will be glad in it. This is Father's Day, and I hope it is a day that all of you are enjoying together with your father, and I hope that you'll have many precious memories of your time today. Many have come to be with their father today on this special day, and some have, from this congregation, gone to other communities to be with their father. So we hope that this is going to be a memorable day in the life of all of you. Father's Day is that traditional time when we always like to reflect upon what the Bible teaches about Father. And so this morning, I'm going to be doing that for the next few moments, and I would challenge all of you to shift your eyes up here and your ears up here as we study together from the Word of God this morning. What is the role of the husband and the father in the home? You know, in our world today and in America, there are 90 million homes where father is missing, either by death or those who have abandoned their families. I believe today that fatherhood is probably, no doubt, the greatest thing next to our Father who is in heaven. Because you see, when we understand that God wants us to be more than a deadbeat father, and we understand our true role as fathers, we understand that we are to be like our God who is in heaven. We have too many deadbeat Joes in America today. That is, fathers who have left the home, who have abandoned their children, who do not care at all about their family, who do not pay child support, who could care less about the future of their children. And I can tell you that someday those fathers will have deep and serious regrets about what they failed to do. I'm convinced that if we want to make our homes heavenly, as God really designed them in His great blueprint found in the Word of God for the home, then we're going to have to become better helpmates in the world. Don't be a deadbeat, but be a helpmeet. That's my sermon for the next few moments. You know, we often talk about the wife being the helpmeet. But I believe that the husband must be a helpmeet as well. What do you do as a husband when your wife needs a helpmeet? In the book of Genesis chapter 2 in verse 18, early on in the origin of man, when God had fashioned Adam and Eve and placed them in the garden, the Bible says, the Lord God said, it's not good for the man to be alone, and I will make him a helper suitable unto him. Now, if you're reading the King James Version of the Bible, it would read that the man, that God created a helpmeet for the man. For indeed, man was not created for the woman's sake, but the woman for man's sake. However, in the Lord, neither is the woman independent of man, or is the man independent of the woman. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 9 through 11. Now, one thing you'll notice early on in the book of Genesis and woven like a thread throughout the Bible is the fact that man and his wife are to be one. I believe that when two people get married, they actually become one. You've heard me say it before, but it's true. Too often times, two people get married and they go off on the honeymoon and they try to figure out which one. Well, I believe that God intended for the husband to be the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. But how would you describe a deadbeat husband or a deadbeat father? If you were to go through their diary, you would find many, many things. Well, what do we mean by a deadbeat husband? He is a man who calls himself a husband, but he does not fulfill his obligations as one. I ask you this morning, are you a deadbeat or are you a helpmeet? A deadbeat husband is one who refuses to fulfill any one of these three minimal requirements of marriage that God requires of all husbands toward their wives. So I want all the men to listen up this morning, and I can almost hear the women saying, amen. Now, first of all, one of those minimal requirements is this one, that the husband is to love his wife. She is not a sex object. She is not to be someone who is stepped on. And if you remember that when God made woman, he placed the woman by Adam's side. He did not take part of Adam's foot to make woman, nor did he take the hair of his head, but he took a rib from his side and he fashioned a woman, and that woman is to be beside him in everything. You see, love is an interesting word. It becomes many things to many people. But love is an action word. That is, it is something that we do. It is more than words. By the way, how many of you told your husband this morning that you love him? It is Father's Day. Very few. Why don't you just do that right now? It's all right. One man looked at his wife and said, it's too late. Now, in the book of Ephesians 5 and 28, Paul says, so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies, for he that loveth his wife loveth himself. The husband is challenged by God to love his wife. In marriage, we say, I do to a lot of things. I know there are a lot of people that say, my role in marriage is far different from what the Bible really teaches. But listen to the book of Ephesians 5, verse 29. It says, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. Now, the word cherish there is from the original language, the Greek language, in which the New Testament was written. And it means to honor, it means to love, to admire. And the Bible says that let us love not in word or in talk, John says, but that we are to love in deed and truth. You see, it matters not if you tell your wife that you love her and you don't show it, then your action speaks much, much louder than your words. It is true in the home that we are to love in deed and in truth. King Solomon, one of the great writers of the Old Testament, and in the book of King Solomon, or in the book of the Song of Solomon, chapter 3 and verse 4. By the way, Solomon wrote about wedded love. He said, I have found the one in whom my soul loves. Do you know that the most memorable people in your life will be the ones that you loved, and they loved you when you were very unlovable. But not only does Paul say that the man is to love his wife, but it also says, and he uses an unusual word here. It's not a word that we find too many times in the Old or New Testament, but it is a word that really describes, becomes descriptive, I think, of the man's role in the relationship of marriage. That the husband is to nourish his wife. And it gives the idea of providing for. That's why Paul told Timothy that if a man does not provide for his own, that is food, clothing, and shelter, he is worse than an infidel. Listen to what he said. And he has denied the faith. You want to talk about denying the faith or upholding the faith? It is based upon the way that you treat your family. That's why I challenge you this morning, don't be a deadbeat, but be a helpmeet. A deadbeat neglects his home, his duties as a provider, and he will not help with the maintaining of finances and leaves all of those responsibilities of the future to his wife that she has to take care of and shoulder all of those responsibilities all by herself. It is important the U.S. law, commonly known, and many of you may be aware of this, commonly called the Bradley Amendment that was passed back in 1986, is a law to automatically trigger a non-expiring lien whenever child support becomes past due. We have a lot of fathers, as I said today, that have abandoned their role. They have left their wife, their children, and they have gone out into the world to begin a life anew, and they do not pay child support. I am convinced that if a man brings a baby into this world, he has the responsibility of being the father. There are fewer pariahs, more deeply loathed by our society today at large than the deadbeat dad. The full-grown man who, having had his fun, abandons his responsibilities. He also has the habit, if you will, of abusing his wife and acting like a superior authority over the whole household. Now, I'm all convinced that the husband is to be the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church. The dad does not negate the fact that the wife does have opinions. It does not negate the fact that the wife also is one with her husband. It does not mean that when he says frog that she ought to leap or jump. I suppose probably this morning you know a lot of fathers that you could give this award to, the world's best deadbeat dad. Let me say something to the men, and I want to say this because this is going out over the internet. It's also going out on television, different affiliates. That if you lay down and make a baby, stand up and be a daddy. I hear an amen to that. I know I heard it from the wives. A deadbeat thinks of the person in the mirror and not the child in the shadow. That is a deadbeat dad. Now let me tell you also, or ask you a question. Is this what God wants wives to do? I see some men shaking their head. Well, let me inform you folks. This is not what God wants the wife to do. Counter to what a lot of people think, God does not ask the women to bow down before their husbands. He doesn't. You know, the Hebrew word, and of course in the Old Testament when that word help meet is used, the word doesn't always translate into the English language very well. And when we think of Eve, we often say help meet, but sometimes folks say help mate. These words help meet are from two Hebrew words. One of them is Ezer, and the other one is konegdo in the Hebrew. And the word Ezer, and this is really important, don't lose me here. The word Ezer actually means helper. But it doesn't mean helper in the sense that I'll sit down here and hand you all the tools while you fix the car. That's not what it means. It does not mean that the wife has to be at the side of man in every beckoning call. That is not what it means. The word is used several times, actually, in the Old Testament in reference to someone who is very strong and capable of coming to the rescue of another in serious trouble, that the husband is to nourish his wife. That's what we're talking about. Did you know that the word Ezer is used 21 times in the Old Testament? 16 times it is used in reference to God being a strong rescuer. And then 3 times it is used in with a military context, and twice it is used in reference to the first woman, that she is to be the helpmeet. But 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise, here it is, husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You want to make sure your prayers get into the presence of God in His throne through Christ our Lord? You better make sure that you're treating your wife right. You better make sure that you're no deadbeat, but that you're a helpmeet. You better make sure that you're serving as the leader spiritually in your home. If you want your prayers to be hindered, because listen to what he says. If we don't, our prayers will be hindered. And those who study the Hebrew language translate that word konegdo as what is in front of, corresponding to, or facing opposites. But I want you to notice also that in Paul's text to the church at Ephesus, in talking about the responsibilities of the husband to his wife, not only is he to love her, not only is he, secondly, to nourish her, but thirdly, he is to protect her. A real man will stand by your side no matter what. He won't leave you when the going gets hard. He will stay and he will protect your heart. He will. We have too many men in the world today that are unconcerned about their wives when it comes to protecting them. They don't worry about it. But the word helpmeet does not convey subordination. And I know that sounds a little strange to you, but when you go back and look at the real meaning of the word, or a meek supporting role. No, the word ezer has the idea of a strong, powerful, mighty help, a rescue, savior, ally, shield, and deliverer. Maybe that's why Solomon wrote in the book of Proverbs chapter 31, one of those profound passages that we all like to read when we talk about woman. But it says, the heart of her husband does safely trust in her. This actually makes good sense when you really stop and think about it. Because male and female are counterparts reflecting the full image of God. I know we live in a world today that supports in many ways marriage between a male and a male and a female and a female. And I will tell you, according to the Bible, unequivocally, that it is wrong. That gay marriage may be acceptable in the eyes of society to some degree, but in the eyes of Jehovah God, who designed marriage to begin with and gave the blueprint to you and to me, tells us that it is between a man and a woman, and the woman was to be the helpmeet, but the husband is also to be the helpmeet as well. Did you know in the book of Exodus 18, Moses even named one of his sons Eliezer, which means God, Eli, is my helper, Ezer. That's where that word is found. Now let me tell you the five benefits very quickly of being a helpmeet husband, okay? I know the reason I'm doing that is because a lot of fellas say, well, what's in it for me, okay? I know that you're probably thinking that this morning. When's he going to get to what's in it for me? Okay. Number one, it demonstrates a willingness to be a servant leader. And that's what God asks us to do. How can your wife have confidence that you will lay down your life for her if you won't even pick up your clothes? Now, how many of you just threw your clothes off this morning when you could have picked them up? You could have. But you don't. Number two, it reinforces the concept of a team. A husband and a wife are teams. If a man is going to be the right kind of father, and if he is going to set the right kind of example, he needs to understand that marriage is both husband, wife, working together as a team. How can two people walk together, Amos said, unless they agree? We have to. Teamwork makes the dream work, doesn't it? Sure it does. You want to make your marriage happy? You want to make your marriage what God wanted it to be? Then you have to work together to bring about the desired result. Teamwork, simply stated, is less of me and more of we. There are too many self-centered husbands and fathers in our world today. Teamwork, defined, is that of a combined effort that you and I are working together. Let me tell you something else. Fathers should, listen, teach their children that families should work together. How many men ever do this? How many of you men did that this week? Some of you very timidly. Did you know, thirdly, that cleaning house releases creativity? Now let me explain. Creativity. There is something about creating order in your home that releases creativity. It's true in your work. When God found chaos, think about this just a moment. When God found chaos and confusion, the first commandment of God was this: to let there be light. And you know what that light did? It exposed the chaos. It exposed the world that was not in order. Cleaning house. Now think about this, folks. Husband, wife, team. Cleaning house shows gratitude and humility. You would do well to show a little humility toward your wife. You would. Don't be a deadbeat, but be a helpmeet. When your yellow-gloved hand is gripping a toilet brush, you show humility. That brush is the equivalent of a sword that cuts through your pride. It's a good thing. I've known men who say, oh, I'd never do that. I don't do that. You listen to what I'm telling you, folks. It's not too good for anybody to do, husband or wife. Not only does cleaning house as a helpmeet husband create a number of things, cleaning house makes you attractive. Did you know that? It's true. I know you're probably thinking, you mean this makes me attractive? I'm telling you it does. It is a proven fact statistically that a man helping his wife with chores around the house will find greater favor in the eyes of his wife. You want to have a more affectionate wife? You want to have a more affectionate wife? Start cleaning the house. Cleaning the commodes. Vacuuming the floor. Washing the dishes. You want to have a wife that will put a meal on your table? Start vacuuming. Sweeping. Making the bed. Taking out the trash. Try this and watch the smile on her face. It will happen every time. Who knew that you would become more attractive when mopping or pushing the vacuum cleaner? This man has started vacuuming every day. He is learning the truth of which I speak this morning. This man went out and bought 6 vacuum cleaners. I suggest that you put this to the test. You will find out that what I'm telling you is true this morning. It is. Why not take a weekend with your family and clean your house? I know some of you do because I've been in them. I promise you that you will discover a sense of accomplishment. Your family will experience unity. More likely, you will flow with creative ideas. Don't be a deadbeat. Let me tell you something. If you expect your wife to go out into the workforce then you ought to assume some of the domestic responsibilities as well. I know all the women were saying amen under their breath. Because it is a family affair. You see, a husband and a wife must function like the wings of the same bird. They must work together, or their marriage will never, ever get off the ground. It won't. It won't. Husbands and wives are partners. When you are weak, they are there because they're strong. And when you hurt, they are there to help your pain and the struggle that you may be going through in your life. And when you are happy, they are there to share your joy. Romans chapter 12. And when there is a work to be done, they are there to pitch in and get it done. You're not like deadbeat Joe who lays up on the couch and watches your wife work, but you are to get up. And you are to help her and assist her and set the right example before your children. And if you want your children to respect you as a father, then you start assuming your role as a helpmeet as well. Not only should the wife say we can do it, but the man should be able to say we can do it as well. And in all partnerships, there are strengths and there are weaknesses. And the goal of a partner is to balance you in the areas where you or they need it most. Don't be a deadbeat, but be a helpmeet. That's why God created each of us. A helpmeet is a gift from God. Because only He knows fully what you're in need of. And only He can choose an appropriate helpmeet for you. Be a helpmeet to your wife. Being a helpmeet to your wife is just one of the things that a Christian should do every day. Every day. Isn't that the Christian thing to do, folks? You can become a Christian husband and father by obeying the gospel of Christ this morning in baptism and start setting the right kind of example before your children, before your family, before your wife. And you will be blessed and you will bless your family by setting that right example before them. And your influence will be felt for a lifetime. It is true. We should not just say, hello, I'm a Christian. Because many times people pretend. Are you a real, genuine Christian, or is it just a label that you wear to identify yourself? Men have an awesome role in marriage. They do. Fathers have an awesome role. When you bring your child into the world, it is the responsibility of every father to see that child go to heaven. It would be a horrible thought for me to think that any one of my children or my grandchildren didn't go to heaven. That is our tremendous role. It's the most important role that you have. And too oftentimes, the spiritual leadership in the home is with a woman, not with a man. And if God teaches anything, it is to be that the husband or father is the spiritual leader. Several years ago, I came across a story that I had read about a father who had written to his son about the relationship that he had with that son. The son was doing his role as a servant to the country in a foreign country. Serving proudly the United States of America. And he wrote to his son in that foreign land, the son who was in harm's way, and he said, "Dear son, I wish I had the power to write the thoughts that are wedged in my heart tonight. As I sit watching that small star and wondering where and how you are, you know, son, it's a funny thing how close a war can really bring. A father who for years with pride has kept his emotions deep inside. I'm sorry, son. When you were small, I let problems build up that wall. I told you real men never cried, and it was Mom who always dried your tears and smoothed your hurts away so that you, my son, would go back out to play. But son, deep down within my heart, I longed to have some little part in drying that small tear-stained face. But we were men, and men don't embrace. And suddenly I found my son, a full-grown man, with childhood done. Tonight you're far across the sea, fighting a war for men like me. Well, somehow pride and what is right have changed places here tonight. I find my eyes won't stay quite dry, and that men sometimes really do cry. And if we stood here face to face, I'm sure, my son, we would embrace. Son, dads are quite a funny lot, and if I failed you on some spot, it's not because I loved you less. It's just because of my own manliness. And if I had the power to write the thoughts wedged in my heart tonight, the words would ring out loud and true. I'm proud of you, my son. I'm proud of you. The father wrote that letter to his son and received words 3 days later that his son had been killed in action. You know, you're only a father for a short time. You are. And the years go by at supersonic speed. And how important it is for us to be the right kind of example to our family. And if you are that right kind of example, I commend you this morning wholeheartedly. And if you're not, I hope this morning that you would make the resolve deep within your heart to start practicing what the Word of God teaches. You see, if my family gets to heaven, it's going to largely depend upon me. It will. That's why every day I think of what I can do to draw my family closer to God and to help them become God has helped me to become. This morning, our brother has selected a song of encouragement and invitation, and if perhaps there are those in our audience today that are not Christian fathers and husbands, I hope you'd make that determination to become one this morning by your commitment to Christ, through your obedient faith, by your desire to live honorably before God and before your family. And we'd be happy to assist you in doing so this morning. And if you're a Christian and you know that in perhaps those areas you have failed and have the courage to step forward and say, God, I have failed. And it's a great testimony to the humility in an individual's life when he can say that. And at times, all of us need to say it. Let's stand for our song of invitation.